This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Family Fridays.
Indeed, that's what happens every single Friday after 2 o'clock here on Power Lunch. It is Family Friday because we, you know how we do it here. We believe in building stronger families, but we also believe in getting into the intricacies of families. I've never spoken to this gentleman about this kind of topic, and I love the spirit within which this one is going to be approached. If you are asking about who is our guest this afternoon, we have got Ntatele Bohang Lebo Emorake, who's joining us in the studio for Family Friday, because we're talking here about building, creating, leaving a legacy, dealing with blended family. How do we capacitate and maximize on our families and the intricacies and the dynamics that happen within our families? Mr. Lebo M, thank you so much for your time. I know we always speak about music, we never speak about family, but like, welcome, 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 your career, your everything and the like. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
It is such an amazing moment to be able to witness a guy of such a talent as yours, you know, live in the flesh. And yours has been a journey that was not just overnight. Yours has been a journey that was built up over decades. And if you just have to give us a summary of how you would describe your journey thus far in the creation of music, in the creation of art, how would you describe the journey that you've been on?
Yo, first question, the most difficult.
Yeah, I don't know. If anybody comes to Parliament, I'll tell you, faith sucks at like shallow quick. You know, you come here to ask the deep stuff. You know, I'm terrible at small talk. How does that sound?
That's fine. Thank you for having me. Good afternoon to you and the listeners. I'm very happy to be here. I guess a summary is that my career starts at age 14 in Soweto as a member of the Pelican Institution. But before that, I was that kid that was playing in the weddings, street bands. From Pelican, I go to Exile at age 16, go to D.C. High School. Between D.C. and New York, hustle. About 1983, I moved to Los Angeles, start over. I end up being a studio musician, but before you're a studio musician, I've become the coffee guy that brings coffee to big and small musicians. That's a little over a decade of hustle and bustle and trying to get through. We're always trying to figure out what my first really, quote-unquote, big break is. It's between either The Power of One, my first movie, or when I produced and put together the Oscar performance when Tate Jonas Gwangwa was nominated for an Oscar. He was based in London. I was based in Los Angeles. I was very busy then. Then after Power of One, I did the Oscars. Then calls start coming in. And, you know, the call after Power of One was, did a few movies. Then came The Lion King.
You know, I always say that everybody has got their moment or their defining moment of success. So life gives us these intricate moments where you are made or you're broken. Right.
Yes.
And whether success is within your area or you go back to defeat or you go back to the drawing board, so as it were.
Right.
Which one would you say? Because it's easy for us to sit here and from looking at you from the outside in to say, when Nancy Gwenyama started, that was the moment of make or break. But I don't know that. When was that moment for you that you would say that was the moment where life aligned with purpose? And I knew that if I could get this right, there will be no stopping me.
Well, I think first with Lion King.
Yeah.
The manner in which that project started for myself and many other people, even the creators of the film, it was not a wow, that moment, until the movie was released. It's a long process to get to realize the project you're working on may have an impact, but not to the extent that we all thought it would. Would I say that's a moment? That is a life-changing moment for me and career-changing moment. from a commercial point of view and from the global scale of what that project did and continues to do till today. Could I say, against everything else before The Lion King, if that was the defining moment? I don't think so. For the following reason, the defining moment for me is finding self in exile. Prior to leaving South Africa, my dreams of making it and the type of work I would have been doing were based on, I want to be a jazz and R&B superstar. Mm. Then when I got to high school at Duke Ellington School of the Arts in Washington, D.C., being in a classroom with African-Americans who were so awesome at being themselves, being a trumpet player that would almost play trumpet better than Miles Davis, a singer that would sing better than Marvin Gaye, whoever my heroes were,
yeah,
at that point, slowly but surely you get the realization that your sense of self is missing. I'm just giving you a short version, because sense of self in the creative world, one, the competitiveness of high school.
Gotcha.
If you are a calculating high school student and you realize that the entire school, therefore the entire country, excels not for being talented, but at being themselves. So you find yourself. So I think the turning point for me is going back to finding who I am, first a South African, and an African artist, and how unique I became in high school and in the black churches. That's long before, because that's what leads to you being unique when you enter Hollywood. So the turning point for me is not necessarily commercially based or the success of the project or projects I've done. The turning point for me is going back to learn who I am, appreciating and loving the music and the culture that created itself, that created me.
Yeah, it's almost like you're having to reach a moment of self-actualization. And I want us to get into a part, because it is Family Friday, so I want us to get into a part where we look at the individual, you holistically, right? As a man who has been, and through obviously your television show, you've been very deliberate about articulating the importance of family and the value behind family. In that respect, I mean, having to be looking at the diversity of work that you do, having to have children in it, having to get married in it, you know, like having to be an artist in it, you know, was there ever a point where sometimes it just gets too much, the responsibility to carry not only yourself as an artist, but to carry everybody else around you so that they don't get left behind?
I think there's something you said that I'm thinking about. I can't comfortably say I had the intent of being in a reality show or television in that sense. Mm-hmm. But from what was happening in my life then and what inspired that turning point in a career is I was graciously given a Lifetime Achievement Award. Then I flew all my children to South Africa, the ones that are here. Anyway. So it was this beautiful family, quote-unquote, reunion to celebrate that very specific moment. And the young people around me were shooting that for a family archives or whatever. Okay. And while doing that, then they pitched it. And the way I saw it when it was sold to me, Ukilewa agreed to something, not realizing you agreed to something.
Did you agree? Because it sounds like you were duped into something. Like how I born a man. No,
initially 2 feet. At that time, it was a beautiful shot left, because I said, I have very talented children. Mm. I have this brand. This then means I can showcase my kids. And they were sold on a dynamic family environment that we were, you know, which is true. That then becomes what I'm about, family. Now, when executing that type of a project with one storyline in mind, and when it happens in such a way that it goes further and further and further from the thread that the creator sort of product and the director had in mind, other dynamics come into play that then changes the intent of what it was meant to be or what it was supposed to be. That does not necessarily mean I wouldn't have done it anyway. It just, then you end up chasing the project as it happens. You end up chasing and trying to bring it back to what it was intended.
And we're going to talk a little bit about this. I want us to be able to expound because, you know, having to navigate a path of success whilst being a family man, once being a husband, once being a father, it's a lot of dynamics. And I can imagine how many South Africans are, maybe all of us really are grappling with one thing or another. And the vulnerability within which we're going to handle this next part of the conversation speaks a lot to the type of men we want to have in society. And the type of men, and black men especially, we want to build. It's 26 minutes after 2.
Power Lunch on Power 98.7.
Now we are talking, we are still talking this afternoon. We're going to have him all the way until the top of the hour with Lebohang Moraki, also known to us as Lebo M. You know, you smile so slyly as I say this. It's almost like anticipating what is this woman going to ask me next.
It's a coffee. Ask anything you want.
When we're looking at the state of society right now, and even having to take nuggets and pages out of your own life, when you're looking at how do you build, and the whole crux of this, and our premise on this, is how do you build successful blended families? Because a lot of us were raised with a mom who had a dad, and then whatever reason the relationship does not work out, and then mom has another person, and those children become my children, become our children, and then the story continues. How was and how has that journey been for you? Because you've had to navigate that quite intently.
It has been difficult and continues to be difficult.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find another way to answer that. You allude to a reality that some of us deal with, the kind of public work I do. It creates one of two scenarios, but I want to try to put that in a South African context. There's either success or the perception of success, which then needs to be contextualized when you talk family.
Yeah.
But before that, I was woken up to a reality that I'm coming to have a conversation. Because I asked, is this an interview or conversation? Because I don't know how to do interviews. So, Banshasha, but it's a conversation. Yeah. Then on my way here, this is how slow I am. Yeah. By the way, it's Women's Month. Got it. Yeah. But I was joking. Then I said to a friend of mine, say, so when is Children's Month?
Hold a bit. Hold that thought. It's 2:30. We're going to come back with Lebo M in just a moment. Let's get your latest 9 Power News.
You are very good to DJ lady.
I've never been described as a good DJ lady. Oh, just a quick one before you finish your thought about intentionality around blended families. What kind of an ear do you listen to the song with? Is it with the do you listen to it from an ear of appreciation, from an ear of critique?
I've recently started to hearing it from a appreciation point of view.
Okay.
From a wow. Because before, we've been going around the world doing very big world tours and performing, you know, and because it's done in studio at the time in 1993, 94, and it blew up so much around the world, it's always been work. Like all the other projects, you know, do it, move on to the next one. But until you start engaging audiences around the world and get the emotional impact of the work, then one has recently began to really be humbled by the impact the work has done around the world.
Gotcha. Okay, so we're talking about Blender Family. We were just saying that, and I appreciate the vulnerability because it is a conversation. It's not an interview. It's a conversation.
I'm good.
Really.
I'm good.
Yeah. You know, about how hard it gets coming in and raising children who may not necessarily biologically be yours and having to navigate the path of being in a blended space. I can imagine how many men are in that space right now, and sometimes they don't even speak about the difficulties that are faced there.
Yeah. I think the thought process I had was, I'm not sure at this day and age if it matters anymore if it's blended or not, because we're in a different era. We're in a time where I can only speak from my personal experience. My personal experience dictates that as a father and as a man and as a husband and ex-husband, when I reflect on my journey in trying to build a family, the dynamics of man and woman, and therefore how that translates to society, are skewed overall in the day and age we live in.
Gotcha.
Even though I was joking, when is Children's Month? When I started thinking about that, I came to the conclusion that the dynamics of what happens between blended families and non-blended families, single parenting, ultimately have one thing that entire society doesn't focus on: children, who are ultimately victims of either blended or non-blended families. So if we then, as adults and as parents and husbands and wives or single parents, male, female, are not holistically as a society looking at a bottom to top, not top to bottom, start with the children and the well-being of the children on a 24-hour basis, and then the impact of the behavior of adults that bring children to this world becomes more, I believe, impactful in creating a substantial change. Whereas the way we are as a society, we're looking at people that bring children to this world, man and woman, and never really going deeper into the victims they create. Obviously, I'm talking only about non-successful family structures. There are family structures that are very successful, and I'm not a statistician, but I can assume that they become much more in the minority. You look at the level of divorce and the level of trauma young people and children have gone through. So, and then that's before you even talk about money in blended and non-blended families. Obviously, money plays a great deal, but of a certain in certain types of families. My biggest worry, and maybe because I've had such devastating experiences with children that are victims of my marriages and divorces, it's very hard for me to be rational about celebrating men and women.
I get it.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at it from the people that did not ask to be born,
Yeah.
But by contract and by science and biology, they are now part of your spawn. They literally are there.
Yeah, the next point you made that I don't want to forget is the children that come into my life not as my biological children.
Yeah.
And there's been many. Ultimately, they become my children, but when it falls apart, they become victims. So I'm not even sure if it matters, like I said, if it's biological or non-biological, if it's a blended or non-blended. Ultimately, the trauma that a divorce leaves to children, I don't believe is the focus of society.
Do you have moments where, if you could, you would never have gotten divorced? For the purpose of this conversation, for the sake of the children and the ones that come in and the ones that now, because it's a loss, right? You grieve the same way that you would grieve a loss.
Yeah.
Do you have moments where you reflect in your life and you say, you know what, I really wish I did not get divorced?
I think this is where then it's kind of sketchy, where society becomes very unfair. I believe very strongly a larger part of men have that. I believe very strongly not every man is as horrible as we believe. A larger number of horrible men exists, whether they're married or not. A larger number of abuse comes from men. Yeah. But those of us that become the, because we're high profile people, become the poster child for that which we are not. Because we love and want to protect children, sometimes we stay longer. I stayed longer in most of my marriages because of the children involved. And I know most men suffer from that pain. The flip side of that is not addressing the other issues of the opposite sex that create or contribute to the conflict that makes a marriage fall apart. Because the scenario is men are dogs. Some of us have experienced the opposite. So it's very difficult to get into any private or public discussions. But I'm getting into those kind of public discussions where I say, but I'm concerned about those children that you saw on my reality show, and all of them, not even a single one, are now victims.
It's such a point in point. And by the way, if you would like to engage with Lebo M, please do so, 0861987000, or ask him questions. This is one of those vulnerable kind of meetings that we're having. But I think it's a necessary meeting if we're going to truly build authentic families, whatever family structure that looks like. But you're saying that in instances you should not have stayed as long as you have. Sometimes I look at you and I feel as though you've given black men the permission to have loved and lost and still continue to love again. Whereas a lot of times society would say, "How nyala ungyeds?" That's it. And when you get divorced, you're already dealing with the ostracization of society. We're already dealing with family relatives, da, 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 da. That the pressures, it's like almost like if you make a decision on love, it's almost like you've got the whole world looking at you. But I sit on the other side and I look at you and it's like, it almost looks as though you've given people the permission to say, guys, it's okay to love. And then it's okay to lose in love. But it's also okay to love again.
My sister, I'm not qualified to give anybody permission for anything. I don't believe I've given men permission to do anything. I've sort of displayed publicly my experience through a reality show. Yeah. A couple of days ago, another friend was very angry at me. harm. You know, you are a children's role model. Whoa, slow down, bro. I believe the following. You are your kid's role model before the guy next door, before anybody else, from birth until adulthood. So I can inspire your child. But let's not play around with terminologies. Mm. Do not now take your parental responsibility and throw it at me. I can only be my children's role model. And I'm responsible for that. But I cannot be your child's role model. I can't. It's your child. I meet your child at age 3, 5, 7, 10, 20, long before you have established your foundation as a parent, father or mother. So the idea that soccer stars, politicians and musicians and producers are role models is something else I think as a society we must examine, because what we're doing, we're removing the responsibility of parenting to a third party. I can inspire your child only through my professional life. I can inspire your child and or you through my personal experiences in life, but I cannot be your role model or your children's role model.
Those kids that you speak about, as you were saying, that sometimes when love is gained and love is lost, the victims are the children, right? Yeah. How do you connect when love is no longer there? I mean, love will always be there, but when relationship is no longer there, how do you still connect with those kids? How do you convince those kids? Because a lot of kids need assurance that you're still there, you still love them, you're still a father or father figure to them.
Yeah, I get it.
How's that journey been like?
That now depends on the adults involved. It does not depend on the mother or the father. This is where, again, we fail children, because now the children becomes the weapon to unleash your rage, or I unleash my rage against you because you've either lost the money or I've moved on with another woman, or you've moved on with another man, and we don't know how to do that deal that says, listen, we actually tried. But why are you using the kids against me? Why is my visitation? Why are the lawyers now dictating when I, as a mother or a father, should have access to this child? So those are the real issues that are now in the adult realm, where children suffer doubly now. They've been removed from the home that they thought was a home, either through blended family or through marriage. And now they're caught between, why can I not go to the park with dad? Why can I go to the movie with mom? You know, those are the real issues that society is, we don't have a solution yet. And I hope we work towards that, how to create healthy divorces, or how to create healthy parenting if you were never married. Of course, we know not every child comes from marriage.
Have you succeeded in creating a healthy divorce?
No. Not at all.
Is that one of the regrets? Or is there any way of salvaging?
I'm not sure I understand what you say. Is that one of the regrets?
Everybody wants amicable as an outcome.
It's not dependent on one individual for that to be a reality. It's dependent on two people. My experience, unfortunately, for me, is that it has been the opposite, where I have tried as a father.
We're going to take your calls after this.
Call Faith on 0861-987-000.
All right, we're going to go to the phone lines as we're with, of course, a legendary producer, composer, creator, I think, more than anything else. That's what we can describe you as a creator, Lebo M. Would you like to speak to him? Let's do so on 0861-987-000. Let me go to Letlhogonolo in Garankuwa. Letlhogonolo, or is it Letlholo? Hi, Letlolo. Hi, Letlolo. Go ahead.
Firstly, thank you for having me, Ms. Faith.
Thank you, sir.
Lenta Dilebo. I'm listening to the conversation as I'm driving. I'm actually from Karangua, and it's actually profound. Him talking about focus, you know. Marriages are not focusing on children nowadays, and that tends to be the breakup of so many, many of them. And I think focus for society in general, I believe, like he said, the narrative is that men are dogs.
Mm.
It's only driven by the fact that we are focused on that. If we focused on so many hard timers like Ndadelebu, who actually tried in their lifetime, in their marriage lifetime, uplifting the youth with such imagery. And we're living in a society where he's an entertainer. He's been working in the entertainment industry, whereby the entertainment industry itself is selling the very same narrative. So I believe that's one of the things that are breaking our homes. We are so quick to have things that actually are an asset in our lives.
Mm.
We are addicted into turning them into, I don't know, glorified. So we are addicted to our own dismay in a way. So it breaks my heart to hear Ndadelebu speak of his life like he is. And I'm coming from being, this is coming from a young man who's 28 years of age, who's not sure if he wants to get married because of all that he has experienced through his life growing up.
Sure.
Parents with multiple partners, children not being taken care, well care of, and certain traumas that I know I probably will never get to escape from my mind. And, you know, as a man who actually loves, first, the woman species, secondly, the idea of a family, and thirdly and finally, love itself, it becomes kind of difficult and a challenge to go through.
I hear you, Letlolo. I got our answer, but I hear you loud and clear. And it's this kind of authenticity that you bring that is able to make people reflect on their own spaces and go, oof. You know, it's not easy.
But I don't think, if I can just quickly respond to the brother, just to share my little two cents. I believe very strongly that marriage is a great institution. I don't think anyone, for that matter, should judge the potential of a happy life and a happy marriage based on someone else's experience, myself included. Because ultimately, the decisions you make to choose a partner can only be proven by time if you chose the right partner or not, male or female. That does not necessarily mean there's something wrong with the institution of marriage. I love it. I'm married now, remarried. And it works for me in terms of how I want to see my rest of my life. Just because I've had unhealthy and unhappy experiences in marriage and to a greater extent have suffered through trying to protect children, that does not necessarily mean that's the rest of my life. And therefore, what I'm listening to the brother and say, but no, at 28, I don't think we have a lot of work to do as society, but that does not necessarily mean shut down your dream or now dictate your journey based on somebody else's journey. We have to deal with so much. Somebody made a comment a couple of months ago. And I said, okay, let's put context to that. Who is your hero, society? Is it a guy that's trying to build a family once, twice, three times, and in my case now four times? Or the guy that's married with a lot of money, has an unhappy wife? The reason that guy has an unhappy wife is because this guy spends more money with two or three or five other women and destroys those women's lives from age 28 onwards with Louis Vuittons and champagne and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the thing is, that becomes your hero a society. Even the sexy or so-called sexy, but again, from sugar daddy to all those things that are now acceptable, but we don't question that. But there's something wrong. I'm not going to use the word moral or none. Yeah. There's something wrong with the psychology of our society that says that 28-year-old brother that just called, who wants to have a family, who wants to build, now has to be in competition with a 58-year-old label that's got a shitload of money and will take that girl that he sees as his dream girl.
But and marry her?
No.
No?
Take her to a club and power... And Baba Bangata. Mm. This guy is not held accountable for destroying those lives and destroying this brother's dream of finding the one. He doesn't have the bank accounts to compete with a guy to go to Diamond Walk or to buy Louis Vuitton, blah, blah, blah. So we are destroying and are creating certain labels. Slay Queen is like such a cool thing. But no one actually said, but let's define that for society. What is that? Mm. Because in the most general, we know that that's that young 28-year-old, 32-year-old young lady whose entire survival is depending on this married man to take her to Dubai. So this brother, oh, I'm just using you as an example, Otiako, it's a hypothetical. So this brother's chances of even seeing marriage are gone. But the guy like me, and I'm proud, I don't have a problem. I love the fact that I'm so happy now. I'm very married. I don't judge myself based on failure. I judge myself based on experience and what have I learned from that experience. And I'm not perfect. So those are the things that we must talk about. Those are the things that that married woman during Women's Month must be able to expose that type of horror that she lives under while she's driving that Bentley.
The things that you are uncovering today, I wish we had all the time in the world, and the calls that are coming in are absolutely crazy. Can we say that this could potentially be a part one of probably the more conversations we are going to share? And simply because we cannot build a strong society with efficient, effective people if we don't have the uncomfortable conversations.
Absolutely, I agree.
And we need to start somewhere. And I'm glad and I thank you so much for coming in with your vulnerability and your openness to start today.
Thank you for having me.
Level M. This is where I have to leave it for this edition of Power Lunch.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.